make this work is because after a windstorm, there is lichen on the ground that I can sustainably forage. Yeah. And people from all over the world try to reprimand me. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry, but this was on the ground. People were walking it into the mud. So it's okay to pick it up off the ground when it's been blown off its substrate. Mm-hmm. And this is how you do it sustainably. So I'm not going to make more than I need, which is one of the qualities and ethos of my work. I'm not going to go gather a huge garbage bag full of lichen.
You're not doing industrial dye production, right?
No, this is a practice that reflects the environment that I'm in. So if I move and there's no lichen being blown down from the trees where I move, then I'm not making my dye from that. I'm making it from something else that's abundant in that environment. And that's why my work is environmental art, because it is reflective of the place I'm in, the psychogeography of that place and that region. So when I'm in Trinidad, I get to have access to teak and mahogany and all kinds of exciting things that I don't have here, that I wouldn't dream of importing or exporting, because that's not sustainable, right? So it's just about, like, what's abundant in my environment and how can I reflect the magic of my encounters with these beautiful, I mean, salmon and bald eagles and, you know, heron and just everything that I encounter on my walks. That's where the magic is, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to just convey. And just, if I don't express it somehow, my art is going to, like, oh my, it's going to stay bottled up in me and I'm going to, like, talk to people about it.
Heaven forbid, right?
All right. Or God forbid, burst into song. So, you know, when you're blessed to be in an environment that's kind of magical, like, how dare I not share it with other people, right? And then when you talk about magic, there is that concept of the artist as shaman. Mm-hmm. And the artist as reflection of society. And maybe because I've gone through so much challenges and I was medically misdiagnosed for over 30 years, my body's not the same. Being able to walk in the woods is a huge privilege for me, because sometimes I can't walk at all. And that's part of why I feel joy. And I feel the gratitude and the magic every single time I go for a walk in the forest, because there are times when I can't do it. There was a time where I had to relearn how to walk physically. So perhaps when you lose something as a member of society who has, maybe I have a certain perspective that I'm able to just see the magic, where it's just normal for everybody else walking past it because they never lost their ability to access it.
Mm-hmm. You take it for granted.
Absolutely, and I don't. So it's not just the making of the art, as you say. It's the whole ritual of translating my experience in nature. And I mean, often that's in the downtown east side here on Alexander Street. But there's a strip there down at the end, a whole bunch of rose bushes. And I'm telling you, they save my life sometimes. And it's just a little strip of rose bushes that a company planted and take care of in the downtown east side. But that's nature. And I can collect a whole bunch of stuff off those rose bushes,
yeah,
to use in my work. And then it's like, my work looks so abundant and she must live in a garden, and I live in the downtown east side. But I see that part of it. And that's, I guess, what I bring to the whole table as an artist, the unique artist's eye, right?
Yeah, I think that's really powerful, to be able to see what is overlooked and to see the beauty in the everyday and in the things that are right there underfoot.
I think that's one reason, you know, when you go through the fire, for a lot of people who've been through something major, most people have, that's one of the things you get at the other side. You know, a lot of people who've survived cancer have often said, I wouldn't change it because of who I became. Mm-hmm. After I had that experience, right? So it's like art. It encompasses the poignancy and the pain and the beauty in life at the same time. Mm-hmm. In the same place.
Yeah. On that note, and I'm not asking you to give specific clinical advice in any way, but if someone wanted to make art to work through some trauma or grief or whatever, what would your sort of general advice be on how to start, how to approach it?
Well, obviously, ideally, you'd find an expressive arts therapist who can help you along the way, someone like myself. And there's a trade association you can go to find people who are qualified and certified, like I am. But, you know, if you're just like entry level and you have no resources and you don't know what to do, get an adult coloring book and start there. Start with something that you're intuitively attracted to and just start playing with color. And then by the time you've gotten halfway through that adult coloring book, maybe you've started doodling. Maybe you're going to let yourself write a couple poems after you've been drawing a little bit in your adult coloring book. Sing, pick up your bongo that you had in the corner getting dust for years and years. Listen to a bit more music. Sing along. All of that is expressive arts therapy. Every single aspect of it. Go to a play. Go to a play that moves you. That's a really good thing to do if you can afford it. And if you can't afford it, call up the box office and ask them if they have any of those complimentary tickets. Because sometimes they would love to just get some seats, people in the seats. There are so many things that are therapeutic that are through the arts that we don't realize until, I mean, I went to a play when I was like 15 with my dad, and it was by Thompson Highway. It was the Rez Sisters, and it was in Quebec at the Centaur Theater. And when people left the play and were in the lobby, everybody was talking to each other like, wow, and this part, and when she did this, total strangers were animated and passionate and exclaiming to one another and sharing with each other because of the impact of the actors and the words and of this drama that had everybody just like sharing, whoa. And in Quebec, most people just are anonymous. We don't even know if we speak English or French because you keep your mouth shut most of the time. And it was a huge learning experience for me at a young age about the power of the arts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was so powerful, such a powerful experience. That's expressive arts therapy in action right there.
Right. Yeah, the arts very often get just categorized as sort of like pop culture or culture generally. But I mean, like, well, what is culture if not art and talking about things through art or words or whatever?
Yeah. Art is if you're writing or you're taking photos or you're singing or coming up with a ditty of your own. I mean, a lot of people have their own little rhymes. That's all of it is creative. I call it creative activity. Mm-hmm. You don't have to label it as art. It's creative activity. And there is absolutely healing through creative activity, and everyone has access to it. Not relegating it to artists only has been a terrible thing in society. And it used to be, I'm old enough to remember, where everybody had a piano or a guitar, and there was always somebody in a gathering of at least 6 or 7 people who could play it decently enough for us to sing along together.
Yeah.
And that was a time before streaming and a time before the internet and a time before. And now everybody's throwing out their pianos and letting them rot in the alleys. And it's heartbreaking because it was a way of coming together through using the arts where we didn't relegate it to the elite and to the people who were trained to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's interesting. In university, you'd go to a party and somebody would have a guitar and that
exactly.
would happen, right? But I'm a sports fan and they sing the anthems before the games. And I'm not a big national anthem person. I'm not a very nationalistic person generally.
Patriotic.
Yeah. And I think there are plenty of reasons not to sing the national anthem. That being said, being in a room full of people, just everyone in the room singing in unison the same song, a song they all know the words and the melody to, is a very profound experience. And I guess, you know, if I went to church, I would probably have that experience more. But, you know, aside from that, I can't really think of very many times in my day-to-day life where, yeah, I'm just singing with my friends.
So powerful, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was in a dark place, I joined the Sing City Rock Choir here in Vancouver, run by Laura Lang, who is a pro. They're having, I think, their, I don't know, 13th or 15th anniversary coming up, with Joni Taylor singing their feature. But I joined a choir because of my experience and my training and everything, and intuitively I knew, oh, I'm not in a good place. I'm a single mom. I can't let this just go. And I took the time after work at the end of the day to go to an evening choir. And it was so, yeah, in that standing, and especially the people who've done it before, so they're decently good at it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And then we were doing it, you know, with the altos and the sopranos and everybody.
You're singing different interlocking parts.
Oh, and the harmonies. It was so powerful and better than an antidepressant could ever be. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. It was so worth it. And I encourage anybody to, you know, if you're feeling in the doldrums a little bit, join a choir. It feels amazing. And then you don't have to worry about the patriotic thing.
Yeah, probably a better option. Cheaper to get into as well. You know, you're not spending $100 on your ticket to get in the door.
I think it's more than $100 now.
Yeah. Well, Rose, this has been a lot of fun. Where can people find out more about you and your work? What's the best way?
Oh, yeah, I have a Facebook page. It's called Rose L. Williams Arts. You can find me there on Instagram. I have a website, roselwilliamsarts.com. And as I said, if you're interested in expressive arts therapy, reach out. Even if you don't want to work with me, I can maybe help you find somebody. And check us out every Thursday on my Facebook page, live at 12:30, and you're going to hear us talk, the International Art Alliance, just, you know, discuss art talks. And sometimes they come out like art panels, and sometimes we're just joking around, and sometimes we're opening boxes and showing the paintings as they're developing. So you never know.
Cool. Well, this is going to air on Thursday morning, so you can tune in later, head to Rose's Facebook page, and get even more.
I can't thank you enough, Jesse.
Great. Yeah, thanks for coming on. It's been great chatting.
Thank you, Rose, for joining me last week, but here in studio virtually today. Rose L. Williams is a mixed media artist, expressive arts therapist, as mentioned there, the co-host / presenter of the Palimpsest Project Art and Beyond through the International Art Alliance. And they do streams every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time, which is about 2 hours from now, an hour and 45 minutes. So if you're free, you can head to Facebook, look up Rose L. Williams or the Palimpsest Project Art and Beyond, or you can go to roselwilliamsarts.com and then just click on the Facebook link there, and you can watch the stream and learn a little bit more, see some of the art that Rose is talking about. Her art is really, really gorgeous, and I recommend going to roselwilliamsarts.com to check that out anyway. And we are going to get to Rose's musical selection. But before that, I wanted to maybe give you some information about an opportunity to do a little creative activity of your own. I cannot recommend enough creative activity, both just as something to do for fun, but if you got emotions to work through, if you're just stuck on something, it's great. I love it. I wrote a very stupid little song for my Dungeons & Dragons game last week, and it's the most fun I've had in months. So if you want to do something like that, you might want to participate in the Haiku Invitational, which is part of the Vancouver Cherry Blossom Festival. From March 1st to June 1st, the Haiku Invitational contest is happening. This contest is an international online contest attracting submissions from all over the world. The haiku, if you don't know, is a traditional poem or song in Japan, using only rhythm and not melody. The top poems in 6 categories, such as Vancouver, BC, Canada, the US, international, and youth, will be featured in the Haiku Canada newsletter and published on the Vancouver Cherry Blossom Festival website. These haiku will also receive celebrity readings and be celebrated in creative ways during the 2023 festival. For more information, you can Google Haiku Invitational, or you can go to vcbf.ca, that's for Vancouver Cherry Blossom Festival, vcbf.ca/festival/haiku-invitational. And just for you, here's a quick little haiku I wrote related to today's show. A feeling inside, right, rewrite the palimpsest, process emotions. There you go. A little inspiration for you to do some creative activity of your own to help you express yourself. And to help you remember that, as Mavis Staples says in this Rose L. Williams second track of the day, you are not alone.
Lay on
Daydream by Bridal Party, almost local Victoria-based band. That is from their brand new record called Cool Down. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're in the last 10 minutes of the show, and I'm going to be a little self-indulgent and just play a song I like a lot. And it's going to take about 6 minutes, so I'm going to get that started, and then we'll go right into Democracy Now. This is one of my favorite bands that I had not listened to for several years, and then I popped the old CD into my car stereo because it's the only place I have a CD player. This is Built to Spill with the opener from their album Perfect From Now On. This one is called Randy Described Eternity. And I love it. So, see you next week.
featuring weekly guests, Rad Radio brings you badass punk, street punk, ska, and oi tunes with a special focus on BC and Vancouver DIY bands. Join your host, Johnny Bones, every Thursday from 10 p.m. to midnight. Miss the show? Go to cjsf.ca for a podcast of the episode.